Perfect. Thank you. All right. It looks like we still have a couple people filing in here. Just as a reminder to all participants, most of you have it, but if you could list your full name and the organization that you're representing, that'd be ideal. We have some new members, and I think just in for minutes and recording, it makes it easier. All right. Well, not to waste time. Bill, do you got the role for this meeting? I assume that you're saying yes.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Yes, we have the roll call. We've got a quorum. We're good to go. We should probably do a little introduction since we do have some new folks here joining us.
Yep. All right. Perfect. I can start if that's all right. Or do you want to just start with the new folks?
Well, you can. Why don't you start, and then I'll go, and I can just call people up as I see them on my screen here.
All right, so I'll officially call the meeting to order for the Greater MPO Technical Coordinating Committee of this is February 26, 2025. As part of introductions, I'm Brad Bruhn. I'm the City of Monona's Program and Project Manager out of the Public Works Department.
All right. And my name is Bill Holloway. I'm a transportation planner here at the Greater Madison MPO. Alex?
My name is Alex Andros, and I am the director of the Greater Madison MPO.
Mary Forlenza?
Hello, everybody. I'm Mary Forlenza. I'm the planning team leader with the FHWA Wisconsin Division.
Thanks, Mary. Todd?
Thanks, Bill. I'm Todd Violante. I'm the director of the Dane County Planning and Development Department.
Matt Schreiber.
Sorry, I had to unmute myself. Matt Schreiber, Urban and Regional Planner, WSDOT, Southwest Region.
Ben Lyman.
Ben Lyman, Transportation Planner with the Greater Madison MPO.
Sada.
Hi, Sada Hussein, Urban and Regional Planner, WSDOT Central Office.
Thank you. And Brian?
Hey all, I'm Brian Grady. I'm with the City of Madison Planning Division. I don't know if I can rename myself to add my organization, but City of Madison, thank you.
All right, David Canning.
Hey all, David Salmon, Transportation Coordinator with the City of Sun Prairie.
All right, and David Canning.
David Canning, Transportation Planner with the Greater Madison MPO.
And Yang Tao.
Yang Tao, City of Madison Traffic Engineering.
All right. Kayla O'Loughlin.
Hi, yes, Village of Cottage Grove, Director of Public Works and Utilities.
And Lucas.
Lucas Sievertson, Planning and Development Director for the City of Verona.
All right. And Jeff.
Hi, Jeff Gorman, Public Services Director, Village of Mount Horeb. I'll get my full name up there when I can.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Ross.
Ross Kaler, transportation engineer with the City of Fitchburg.
And Charlene Schmidt.
I apologize. I can't seem to change the name on this version of Zoom. Sometimes it lets me, sometimes it doesn't. But Charlene Schmidt, Dane County Highway Design Engineer.
Okay, thanks. Chris Petakowski.
Chris Petakowski, City of Madison Assistant City Engineer.
And Terry Hanschke. I hope I got the pronunciation right there.
Yeah, pretty good. Terry Hanschke, Village of Shorewood Hills Public Works Director.
All right. Well, I think I believe I got everybody here. So thanks to all the new folks for joining us. Charlene, I see you got your hand up.
Did not mean to.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking to try and change my name.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I guess we are we're ready to move on then, Brad.
All right, sounds good. So next item, approval of January 22nd, 2025 meeting minutes. I'll take a motion to approve.
I'll move that. That's right, Todd.
Stowski will second.
Thank you, Sean. Any comments, suggested revisions, additions, anything like that, please chime in now. All right, hearing none, I'll assume that no members are objecting to approval of those minutes, so you can move on. To committee member reports is the next item up. So you can go on a volunteer basis. Whoever has anything to report, please feel free to do so.
And Brad, maybe for the new members, welcome. And just so you know, this is an opportunity to sort of describe things that are going on in your community to share with the others, just to, just to get to know each other and know what's going on in the region. Thanks.
Sean, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I had mentioned last month we're going to have some staff transitions going on here soon enough, but we're about to award the reconstruction of Parmenter Street, which used to be Highway 12, but now it's after the bypass from 2005 or 6, just a local street, but we're finally getting to rebuild that this year. So that'll be a pretty big project, and we have another subdivision just starting in on the north side of the city. So that'll be a bunch of road and infrastructure for that too then.
And Chris?
Hi everyone. Just a couple updates on some of our MPO projects. Westtown Path Phase 2A. That has been bid. We had our pre-con and should be starting construction in May. That was a TAP project. Our next TAP project, which is the Badger Rust Path, that is, we're just getting ready to turn in PS&E docs to WISDOT and should be getting those out to bid, hopefully, in March, maybe April at the latest. So we'll have construction starting in the summer. And then our biggie, John Nolan Drive, we're continuing to work on the design. We had got 90% plans turned in to WISDOT and marching forward to our May 1 PS&E date.
Chris, I had a question on that. Is there any type of overlap with the Monona Terrace project or the future project with John Nolan?
Are you referring to like the Lakeway project or the lighting project?
The Lakeway.
So yeah, good question. Our Parks Department is working on developing what they call the Lakeway plan, and current thinking is that the roadway and bridge construction will, you know, they'll start this fall. It'll occur over the next two winters. And then the summer of 2026, we'd kind of transition from road and bridge stuff to Lakeway Park type items. Like they're planning some docks and some piers, that kind of thing. So their plan right now is to start right as soon as our project is finished. So it's going to kind of seem seamless to the public. You know, the project will just kind of keep on going, but it'll be two different projects.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else want to share any updates? David?
Yeah, I just wanted to share an update on some of our MPO funded. We have our bike wayfinding plan which is going to be creating wayfinding signage, connecting on street and off street paths through Sun Prairie. Then kind of modeled after the Lake Monona Loop to, again, provide a recreational opportunity. So we're in early design phases of that, working with WISDOT. And we have been able to get a lot of exemptions on that, which is great because it's just signage, no construction. So I think there was some uncertainty how that was going to play out. And I think overall, there's been support across the board to move forward with a project like this. So I think this is maybe one of the first projects TAP funded that really has just been kind of signage. And so I think it's exciting that we're having some good success with that for future projects. And then the other Sun Prairie project is our St. Albert the Great Thompson Road project. And everything's lining up nicely for that. Got two phases to go this summer and looking forward to kicking that project off.
All right, thank you, David. Yang?
Yeah, thank you. I just want to quickly add on, as Chris mentioned, we also going to have a major project coming up over Dunedin Drive on the Monona Terrace to basically redo all the lighting component in the tunnel. So that's a pretty big undertaking, a few million dollars worth of work. And that'll be happening this year as well. Kind of related to that, we also going to do some citywide kind of lighting replacement work. As you know, that the citywide LED streetlight conversion project that continued this year. We also started to purchase equipment and work on upgrading the city's traffic signaling infrastructure, the cabinets, controllers, and actually the LED indication modules, upgrade them to a more energy efficient module, along with more advanced controllers and cabinets. Actually, we got about $5 million federal grants to do those work. So those will be happening citywide. So thanks.
Thank you, Yang. I do not envy your department with the re-signalizing of John Nolan Drive. That does not sound like fun.
That has been pretty tough to maintain, and it's going to be a lot of hassle to replace all of those. But once it's done, hopefully it's a lot better.
Good. Ben?
Thanks to Chris department for the collaboration on that. We're not also doing that, but also upgrading the ventilation system. So in the tunnel, so like the fire protection, everything.
Good deal, Ben.
Yeah, I don't think the MPO usually has updates during this part, but I have an exciting one that I wanted to share. We got some funding that the Bay Lakes RPC and MPO were not able to use. And WISDOT has approved our use of some of those funds to purchase and outfit a data bike. And if you're not familiar with that concept, basically it's an e-cargo bike that has a 360-degree camera on a pole above it that takes imagery that can be uploaded into Google Street View so that you can street view separated paths. It also uses an iPhone gyroscope and accelerometer to measure pavement roughness. And so we're able to get out and ride on side paths, sidewalks, separated paths, shoulders of rural roads that maybe haven't gotten a millet overlay treatment when the travel lane did. And we'll be able to map out pavement condition and share that with all of you. And so we are working on trying to get all of that together and purchase and equipped this summer, hopefully this spring. So just an exciting thing. And if you have any particular routes that you want us to do in our inaugural season, please let us know, because you know we're doing this so that we can get data for all of you and your communities.
Very interesting. Awesome. Thank you, Ben. Judd?
Hello. Sorry. Tried to unmute. Just a couple updates. We have gotten a fair number of our bids out and gotten back favorable pricing for reconstruction and resurfacing projects. We are also in the midst of this year. We'll be signalizing Highway 19 and Williamsburg Way by Hooper's headquarters there, if you're familiar with where that is. And also this summer, we'll be signalizing at Highway 51, Metro Drive and Pepsi Way. Formerly Metro would become Pepsi Way and Williamsburg Way there by the truck stop. So that's all in conjunction with the work that's happening there on Highway, both sides of 51, east and west side, with our the Forest Yards project on one side, Quick Trip's distribution center.
Thank you, Jeb. Any others that want to share an update? All right. Take it as a no. The next item on the agenda is recommendation on amendments to the 2050 Regional Transportation Plan and the 2025 to 2029 TIP.
So David Canning is going to be presenting on this. Here it goes.
All right. So this is the first RTP amendment we have processed for the currently adopted 2050 RTP, which was approved in May 2022. A memo that describes the RTP amendments and major TIP amendment were sent out. That memo was sent out about a month ago, close to a month ago, I should say. And a public hearing has been scheduled for March 5th at our next policy board meeting. We have received comments from one individual who is opposed to the interstate capacity expansion project, and the public comment period will continue through March 5th. And there are three parts to this amendment. First, it adds the I-3990-94 capacity expansion project to the fiscally constrained plan. Second, it adds the North Stoughton Road reconstruction project to the fiscally constrained plan. It also adds that project to the 2025 through 2029 TIP. And lastly, it revises the North-South BRT project already in the fiscally constrained plan so that it reflects the adopted locally preferred alternative. I will now just provide a brief overview of the two highway projects. And then after that, Ben will talk about the North-South BRT amendment. The interstate capacity expansion project extends from Madison to the Wisconsin Dells area, as you can see on this map, and it will potentially be constructed in six sequences. Sequence two extends from I-94/State Highway 30 to US Highway 51, and construction of that portion could start in 2030. Section five extends from State Highway 30/I-94 to the Beltline, and construction of that section could begin as early as 2038. And Section 6 extends from Highway 51 to approximately the Wisconsin River in Columbia County, and that's the last segment that would be constructed, and that would potentially start in 2044. The final EIS and Record of Decision were approved on December 5th, and the State Transportation Projects Commission recommended enumeration of the project at their meeting on December 9th. And total estimated cost of the entire project from Madison to Wisconsin Dells is about $1.36 billion. Final approval will occur when the state's biannual budget is adopted later this year. There are eight general purpose lanes that are proposed for the portion of the project in Dane County and also the portion that extends into Columbia County. In addition to those additional general purpose lanes, there will be some new auxiliary lanes for most of the project in the Madison area, except for the section between State Highway 30 and 151. That section will get four collector distributor lanes. In addition to that, new interchanges are proposed at Hepker Road and at Milwaukee Street on I-94. Improvements are also planned for all existing interchanges. And now on to the Highway 51 project. That project extends from Highway 30 to the interstate and will be constructed in three potential sequences as shown on the attached map or on this map. The draft environmental assessment was signed in December and the finding of no significant impact is anticipated to occur later this year. The State Transportation Projects Commission awarded major highway program funding to this project at their meeting in December, and the total cost of the project should not exceed $174 million. This is the project listing for the major TIP amendment that's associated with the North Stoughton Road project. This shows construction beginning in 2029 and a portion of the total construction cost in that year. Construction will continue into 2033. The project will primarily replace deteriorated pavements. It will redesign and reconstruct intersections, realign horizontal curves, improve bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure, and also optimize traffic signal timings. That concludes my summary of the two highway projects. Staff is recommending approval of the RTP amendments and major TIP amendments. Ben will now provide an overview of the North-South BRT project.
Thanks, David. So this is really just updating what is in the RTP with what Madison has adopted as the locally preferred alternative. In the RTP, North-South Bus Rapid Transit is actually shown as potentially being on either Packers or Sherman on the north side, and either Park Street or Fish Hatchery Road on the south side, and the terminus at the end is not shown. So this basically just sort of makes that adopted plan official in the RTP, because FTA had asked for it to be included. It doesn't actually change the fiscally constrained part of the plan at all. North-South Bus Rapid Transit is already in the fiscally constrained plan. While we're adding this map, we did go ahead and also make some text edits to the RTP to recognize that East-West Bus Rapid Transit has been completed since the adoption of the RTP in 2022, updated some other figures, just, you know, the population served, that sort of thing, that with current numbers. And that's that part of the amendment.
All right, thank you. I did have one question to start out, just as a point of the submittal of I'm not sure what the individual's name was again, but Bill had sent the comment before the meeting today, and there in part of that comment they had said something along the lines of lawsuits about traffic forecasting. Is there anybody on the meeting that might be able to elaborate on that a little further by chance?
WISDOT is responsible for the traffic forecasts for this project. They did hire a consultant to assist with that. So that's not something we were directly a part of. We did assist with some socioeconomic employment and household projections, but that's all we did. We didn't actually generate any forecasts.
I guess I was more curious about the lawsuit that he might have been referring to. I never heard anything about that before, so didn't know if anybody had any light to shed on that topic, but either way, is there anybody else that has any comments on this item? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve or recommend for approval.
Well, if we're all going to jump in at once, Stowski will move approval of the TCC to the full board for these changes to the regional transportation plan and TIP.
Thank you, Sean. Do we have a second?
David Salmon,
Thank you, David. All right. If there's no other comments or otherwise, I'll take that as an assumption of approval by the group, a recommendation for approval by the group. And then we can move on to the next item on the agenda, which is a recommendation on policies and scoring criteria for the STBG Transportation Alternative Set Aside Program. Bill, will you be presenting on this?
No, I think this is Ben will be presenting on this.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, are you seeing my screen correctly?
No, we're seeing the notes screen.
Right. Of course you are.
It always does that first.
Yep. Okay, how about that?
There you go. Looks we're good.
All right. That's well, really important because I've got, you know, three slides here. So for our Transportation Alternative Set-Aside Program, also known as TA or TAP, we basically currently only allow those funds to be used for construction projects with one exception, and that would be Safe Routes to Schools Planning and Programming. So construction of on-road, off-road trail facilities, enhancement of existing off-road trail facilities, construction of infrastructure-related projects and systems that will provide safe routes for non-drivers. Here's your transit stop, Brad. Conversion and use of railroad corridors for trails, bike share capital costs, and safe routes to schools non-infrastructure projects. Staff is proposing to add another non-infrastructure category of eligible projects, and those would be ADA transition plans for public rights of way. This would exclude portions of transition plans for facilities and programs not within public rights of way. So we wouldn't be funding your ADA transition plan for your park system or for your village hall or your city hall or city facilities, but for conducting that ADA transition plan for transportation in the public right of way, those costs would be eligible to be covered by the Transportation Alternatives Program. And already we do provide resources and support for communities that are doing ADA transition plan updates. With the recent adoption of the public right-of-way accessibility guidelines, there are new standards for what you need to do with new construction to be compliant. And then also supposed to have an ADA transition plan, I think, since 1996, but that was long ago enough that one, many things have changed, and two, many communities have simply forgotten where their ADA transition plan even exists, if they don't still have a copy of it lying around at all. So we do really want to support communities updating those plans and ensuring that future construction meets the new requirements. As part of that, for project screening revisions, well, I guess we added two things. One, based on some recent TAP experiences, calling out that if you're going to be crossing a railroad, it requires a lot more coordination with the railroad. I think Judd can speak to that with the County Highway V separated path that we selected for funding, but due to railroad issues and some other construction easement issues, that project is not moving ahead quite as expected. So again, we just want to make it really clear to everyone that requiring railroad coordination does add significantly to project timeline. Back to ADA transition plans, beginning in 2036, we would propose that only communities with updated ADA transition plans for their public rights of way would be eligible for infrastructure project funding. And this is also one of those things to kind of help protect communities. If there's a complaint against a community that you have not been meeting the ADA, the Department of Justice comes in, audits your community, and can basically tell you have to fix all of your curb cuts, all of your pedestrian push button signals, whatever else they found was not in compliance. And they require you to do all of it within a fairly short period of time. Whereas if you have an ADA transition plan that says we will do X number of curb cut installations and Y number of push button APS signal upgrades every year, and we'll have dedicated funding, and we'll do it over the next 10 years, You have a lot more control that way. And so we just want to make sure that our communities are protected and have those plans so that they can be in compliance with federal law. And note that some state DOTs already require that you have an updated ADA transition plan in order to be eligible for funding through any of their programs. If WSDOT was to adopt a similar thing, then this policy would say whichever is the earliest deadline between the state and the MPO would apply. But we wanted to be generous, give folks time to get their ducks in a row and get their plans completed. So it would, you know, be 11 years from now that we would be requiring that folks have their ADA plans complete in order to be eligible for TAP funding. And that's those are the whopping changes to this policy. Happy to answer any questions anybody has.
Thank you, Ben. Ross?
Yeah, my question is just like, what does an updated ADA transition plan mean? Is that just compliant with all current ADA and PROAG guidelines or requirements?
It's a good question. An updated plan, really, it's like an ADA transition plan is supposed to be a living document that you don't just create in 1996 and then put on a shelf and forget about until now. It should be updated. If you have a list of priority projects that were in your original transition plan, hopefully a lot of those have been completed. And so you can remove them from the plan and then identify any other new barriers. For Fitchburg, for example, when you took on parts of the town of Madison, are those facilities now meeting ADA requirements? And so it doesn't mean that you have to redo the entire plan. It's really just looking at what you currently have for infrastructure, trying to identify barriers, trying to identify, even if you don't go through and identify the 100 crosswalks that need upgraded curb cuts, having a schedule identified where you will, work to identify those in the coming year, and then you'll be fixing again, 10 of them every construction season. So you don't have to have that bullet list of these are the things we're going to do every year for the next 10 years, but having a plan of how you will address those deficiencies and how you'll monitor them and bring them into compliance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
And again, if you have other questions, we can work through some of the specifics in greater depth. Perhaps if that's something that this body would be interested in, we could do like a separate presentation just sort of on ADA transition plan requirements at a future meeting.
Thank you, Ben. Do you by chance have a catalog of communities that have good examples of ADA transition plans?
I do not. The city of Madison is just wrapping up an update to their ADA transition plan. They contracted with Access to Independence to kind of lead that effort and put that final document together. I would be happy to reach out to the Department of Civil Rights and Access to Independence and see what they have for examples, but that's not a resource that I have at the tip of my fingers.
Okay. All right. So are we looking for a motion to recommend approval of the changes to the scoring criteria?
That would be great.
All right. So for the group, we are looking for a motion to recommend approval of the suggested revisions as written to the policies and scoring criteria for the STBG Transportation Alternatives Set-Aside Program projects. Could I get a motion?
Ross Kaler will make that motion.
Thank you, Ross. And a second?
I'll second. It's from the end.
Any other comments or suggested revisions or otherwise? All right, hearing none, we will go with that then for approval or recommendation for approval. So those items 4 and 5 on the agenda, it sounds like those will be at the March 5th MPO policy board meeting. Is that correct? All right, perfect.
The policy that you just looked at will actually just be sort of introduced to the policy board on March 5th. It won't be an action item for them until the April meeting.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Ben. All right. So it sounds like we're moving on. MPO staff reports is the little next item. Do we have any today,
Alex?
I was just going to say, I think Ben shared something report earlier about the idea of the data bike, which, by the way, there are other MPOs across the country who are using them, which is great because it gives us an opportunity to learn from that and put something together that works well here. I think that's about it for this month.
All right, great. Thank you. And then so the next meeting of this group is scheduled for Wednesday, March 26th. And again, it's at 1 p.m. Obviously, you all know because you're here. Sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
I just had a quick question for Alex and maybe David. This year, I believe, is STBG apps, correct?
Yes.
And what kind of schedule are you proposing for those applications?
Our normal schedule would be to send out a project solicitation in mid-April. The only caveat to that is we are currently converting our TIP into an ETIP, and we're working with a company called Eco Interactive to accomplish that. Because of the work that we're doing now, that may get delayed perhaps until perhaps May, but we should have a better idea of the schedule by the next meeting.
Yes.
Good Thank
question.
You.
That's why it wasn't a staff report yet.
Thank you, Chris. All right. So it sounds like there's no other items unless somebody has anything to interject. And if that's the case, we'll take a motion to adjourn.
So this is Judd, I'll motion to adjourn.
Okay, Todd is
I'll the second. It.
Todd's there you go. And Judd is the second. Perfect. All right. Sounds good. We adjourn the meeting of the TCC. We'll see you guys next month.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks all.